Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everybody. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. Time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Do you have your coffee, Andy?
I got my cup.
Is it empty?
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for joining us. We are in the book of Luke. We are in chapter 20. And we had just gone back and reviewed back in chapter 19. And there's another thing that I wanted to bring out, and that is the difference between epi and eph. And John Steganga puts it in the same place, but if you'll notice, there are different forms of a particular word, and they actually require two different translations. Because if they're exactly the same part of speech, you can tell it's a form of the word if the spelling is different, that it's that same word. Like baptisthes means after being baptized or having been baptized. And baptos is the root word, but the ending tells you there's a difference. Well, there's with the prepositions that show relationships between objects, here is are a whole bunch of them, epi and eph. And eph, you can have it exactly in the same part of speech, but it's spelled differently than epi. It's exactly the same part of speech as epi. And F is the same part of speech, and yet they're spelled differently. And when there was an argument that rose up recently, but it was settled years ago by a lot of us, and what we did is we decided to study it to completion to really see what was correct. In other words, we would take a Bible like our Panons, and we would look up every place F was found in the scriptures, and I wanted to really know what it meant. So I made a note, and I looked at it in its context as I was doing my daily reading that year, and it was so obvious that it means within. It's not upon. It means within. And it's very different. There are some places upon does not work, and even Ivan Panin's would not translate it as upon. He translated it within. Almost like en. Eph was, but not quite like en. It was within, like within the mountains. Maybe not inside, but within something. Well, we have a spirit and a soul, and sometimes the word eph is used where it's not on top of us, is not like clothing being worn. It has nothing to do with the flesh. It has to do with the inside of man, within him. And it's not specific whether it's just within his heart, but it's also within his mind. It's within that area. And he sent his Holy Spirit, he poured out his Holy Spirit in us, and it's in our heart. It's like the Holy Spirit sits at the pilot seat, at the controls, and that's where we want him to be. But there are certain things that happen within the mind and heart of man without making distinction, and oftentimes that word eph is used. And it talked about this one place that we just read, we will not have this man reign. And it's F, it's not over us, it's within us. In other words, we're not accepting him as a person within our midst that's going to have any kind of say. You know, like a governor within a state or a, you know, board of directors or whatever, not that they're like necessarily over, but they're not accepted with even within. And also the colt was tied wherein no man has ever sat. Have you ever seen Back on the Saddle Again? Remember that song? Oh, In the Saddle.
I'm back in the saddle again.
Well, in the saddle means your feet are in the stirrups and you're in the saddle. You're within between the horn and the back of the saddle, but it means the saddle is more than just the seat you're sitting on. The stirrups are all part of that. It's within. My dad was a horseman. The song is not Back on the Saddle Again. It's Back in the Saddle Again. Isn't that funny? But the other ones are so clear, it's not funny, that when we started doing this, and I'm not going to take any detail here at this time, but I followed it all the way through, and it's impossible in some places to say it is a pawn. It only works if you apply to every single case. It only works with all of them if you use within, not on. And so I have a special color, and I looked at it from 1 to, I forget what the last one was. Well, in Luke, we're on number 23, F, that I had the circle, and I looked at it within its context and found out. And you can do the same thing before you make a judgment. Take your Bible. And if you have a problem with that word. But these are the types of studies that we did, but now we are not doing those little detailed. I was just showing you some of the things that we have learned so far in 50 years as a group. We wanted to find the exact meanings, and it was really interesting when Andy sang that one song about faith. Actually, would you mind singing that one more time?
Sure.
And this is... What, Andy? Explain the song.
Well, it's the song that a 12-year-old girl got because she couldn't remember all of the names for faith. And so she sang them. And once she started singing them, everybody knew all the words because they just sang the song.
This is one Greek word.
Yeah.
It took all these different English words to try to explain it from different angles. Not one word works perfectly. Greek is such a rich language, and the Bible is so rich, it took 14 words, at least that we know, to try to explain what faith really is.
And I was talking about it one day, and I found myself drawing on the board, and I said, here, let me draw a wheel, and what makes a wheel good and strengthens the wheel is the spokes. And I said, so I'm going to draw all the spokes on there, and I'm going to call this wheel faith. And without the spokes in it, it'll collapse. But with it, it is strong. And people saw that and they go, oh, that's a visual of that. That works. But here's the song. Faith, believe, persuaded, obey and confident, trust assured, committed, yield, agreed, enticing, having made a friend of God, like Abraham.
Well, we're working on a book. You need to call Steve up and have him do that illustration.
Oh,
the wheel.
Okay, I will.
Because Ezekiel saw a wheel rolling way in the middle of the air. A wheel within a wheel rolling way in the middle of the air. One wheel rolled by faith and the other rolled by the grace of God. A wheel within a wheel rolling way in the middle of the air.
So it did say a wheel, so it's probably where I got it
and,
from.
And here is man, and we use circles to show the spirit, soul, and body. The inner circle is the spirit. The middle circle that goes around that inner one is our soul or mind, and then our flesh or body. And that's how we use to demonstrate how—
That's how that was depicted when I came along. Uh-huh. Somebody had already done that.
A wheel within a wheel. But we were reading Ezekiel, we were all over the scriptures, and all of a sudden these pictures would start to come
And there are fixtures. And yeah. So that's probably why I drew that faith wheel like that.
So
okay.
Remind yeah. Steve, and please do that.
Sure.
We're doing a book on this journey that we're taking with the Lord. Do we want to read that last? He entered the temple. Let's set this stage and do 1945 to 48 again. It seems like at the very end of Jesus' walk here on the earth, it focuses around the temple a lot, him going in and out of the temple, being there daily, and so on.
And he entered into the temple and began to cast out them that sold, saying to them, "It is written, and in my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people sought to destroy him, and they found nothing they might do, for all the people hung upon him listening.
And this is going to continue on now in chapter 20, starting in verse 1 through 8.
And it came to pass on one of the days, as he was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came upon him, and they spake, saying unto him, "Tell us, by what authority do you do these things? Or who is he that gave you this authority?"
Andy, take a break here.
Okay.
They came upon him. These religious leaders came on him. Is that aggressive or what?
Yeah.
And this
That's
is
crowding you.
This is God. This is his son, the creator. What a bunch of hotshots.
"Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that have gave you this authority?" And he answered and said to them, "I also will ask you a word, and tell me, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned within themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for it is persuaded John was a prophet." And they answered, they knew not whence. And Jesus said to them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things."
So here he comes, and he enters the temple. He teaches daily in the temple, it's said in verse 47. So this is his routine. And the people, the chief priests and the scribe, here is God standing right before him. They don't recognize him. So if they're not working for God, who are they working for, Andy?
Well, they're working for the enemy, for the devil.
The word Satan means enemy. And that's why Peter was told by Jesus, you know, get into place, go after
me.
And
it wasn't just the religious guys. It was chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, the older guys that are
Set in their ways.
They all got in there. Didn't say any. It's all the people were hanging on his words, but these people were not wanting him to talk.
It doesn't say one of his disciples came to him, does it?
No.
A learner. Is there any learners in that chief priests, scribes, and elders group?
No.
They're all big shots.
Challengers.
Yeah, big shots. It's better to stay on the learner side, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. We're approaching this whole thing as learners. Jesus says, "I will ask you a logon. I'm going to ask you about this image, I'm going to ask you about the basic fundamentals of the doctrines of Christ."
And so they don't see him.
They don't see him.
And
as
so he
Christ.
Starts talking about one of the basic principles, baptism. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Straight up question.
Silence. Andy was just demonstrating silence there. "Oh, there will be silence before thee and praise in Zion, O God. And to thee the vow
will be performed to thou who praise. To thee all men come, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou dost forgive them. How blessed is the one whom thou dost choose and bring near to thee. He'll be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. By awesome deeds thou dost answer us. In your righteousness, thou art the end of all the earth. There'll be silence before thee and praise in Zion, O God.
That's a psalm. I can't remember which one.
I can't either.
Now, we're in verses 9 through 18. 9 through 18.
And he began to speak unto the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to husbandmen, and went into another country for a long time. And at the season he sent unto the husbandmen a bondman, that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And he sent yet another bondman, and him they also beat and handled shamefully and sent him away. And he sent a third, him also they wounded and cast forth. And the Lord of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Mayhap they will reference this one. But the husbandmen, seeing him, reasoned one with another, saying, this is the heir. Let us kill him, that the inheritance is ours. And they cast him forth out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore will the Lord of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy these husbandmen and will give the vineyard to others. And on hearing it, they said, be it not so. But he looked upon them and said, what then this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made head of the corner. Everyone that falls on that stone shall be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him as dust.
I'm going to read Psalms 51 about this stone. And it says, restore to me the joy of salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So if we fall on the stone, and who is the stone?
Jesus.
We're going to be broken. And that means we're going to have a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. We are going to have an opening for the Lord to come in. We give him the pilot seat. And if the opposite of that is to be proud. And everything is about me. I. And so we are to fall on the stone, but with whom, within whom ever it falls, it will scatter them as dust. We don't want to be like the dust. That's always shown, you know, like the chaff, the dust, you know, is the result of judgment. That's what's gone away, that's blown away with the wind, with judgment. 19 through 26.
And the scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him in that very hour. And they feared the people, for they perceived that he spoke this parable against them. And they watched him and sent for spies who feigned themselves to be righteous, that they might take hold of his speech, so as to deliver him up to the rule and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Teacher, we know that thou sayest rightly, and teachest, and acceptest not man's face, but of a truth teachest the way of God. Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness, and said to them, Show me a shilling. Whose image and subscription hath it? And they said, Caesar's. And he said to them, Then render to Caesar's things, and God, God's. And they were not able to take hold of the saying before the people, and they marveled at his answer and were silent.
So this now, Jesus is bringing in the New Testament. It's not in effect yet. But he didn't say any other government. He said Caesar's. So let's jump ahead in where we're going to go. We are going to take this journey. It starts in Matthew. We're going to look at the different gospels, and they're like stair steps leading back really to us all the way to where we become like we were with God at the very beginning, living with God in paradise forever. He's going to reinstitute all that in a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells, and earth will be a paradise. It'll be like we've never seen before. I don't even know if Eden was even this good. I have a funny feeling it's better. He's saving the best for last, Andy, for eternity. I think it's beyond our imagination it's going to be that good. Anyway, so he's preparing us for this. So let's go a little further. And as we're going to look at the Acts, we're going to do the four Gospels leading up to the first book in which the whole book is about the New Testament. It's after the death of Jesus that happened at the end of each of these Gospels. Within the last two chapters of each, I think it's within the last two chapters of each of these books, the Gospels. And then we're going to go into Acts, which is today, and we're going to look at it when that book of Acts started and where we are in the book of Acts today at the end of it. Because then we're going to go to Revelation, to this thousand-year reign on this earth with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, where the earth is going to be one language again. And then we're going to look at the new heaven and the new earth. So at the very end of Acts, we're going to go through this. And the end of Acts is actually in the book of Revelation, the seven churches. We're going to be looking at that and the seals that happen at the end of the book of Acts and the
time frames.
And time frames and the trumpets, trumpeting Jesus' return, and the vials that are poured out on the earth at the very end. We're going to be looking at that. And we know from the book of Daniel that Daniel was told, and he told Nebuchadnezzar that this last kingdom, he was the kingdom of gold, then there was going to be the Medes and the Persian Empire of silver, and then the bronze of Greece, and then the two iron legs would be Rome, Caesar. But the Caesar Empire is not going to end. It's going to keep going until today. And so this is the empire we're in. So he doesn't talk about the United States. He doesn't, not in here. He's talking about Caesar. And lend unto Caesar what is Caesar's. That's still here today. You know what? How many of you think that America is not really America anymore? Are we really part of Caesar now again? Is this becoming evident, Andy?
Well, it's...
Is something really happening that's really weird in America?
Ask anybody, they'll say, yeah.
This could be that we are finally realizing. It's always going to be the way God says it is. I think our minds are just open to the fact that America is not America anymore. There is something, I know the Pope drew a map of the 10, you know, we got 10 toes, about the earth having 10 different countries. And we're part of, I think they, you can see it with the border coming down on the south, and maybe this is what God is saying. Do we really want to fight against this when God says it's here? And that Mexico America and Canada would be one country. What do you think about that?
You know, the I'm going to answer you a different way. There's talk, and people have believed about the old Roman Empire, and they believed in World War II, how Germany was part of something, and he was a Caesar, and then the Kaiser was also a Caesar. So we've looked at that part of the earth, and people have discussed that part of the earth being connected to the Roman Empire. But now, this is going to the next point. If the whole earth is going to be involved with the Caesar thinking, that's where you're going with this. And so, yeah.
The German, and in World War I, the Kaiser, and that's German for Caesar, and the Tsar is Russian.
Russian for Caesar.
Caesar.
So that Tsar is Caesar. He was over there, yeah. And that was reasonable.
And we've had some interesting Caesars that kind of look like our President Biden, maybe like Nero. You know, some make their animal the vice president or whatever, you know, back in Nero, and some really different, we had some different leaders back then, but why are we surprised? The world is, look at how it is changing. I think it's becoming evident that, and I think in the last time it's going to be so evident of where we're going on this earth, that everybody's going to have to make a choice what side you on. And you got life on one side and death on the other. And death means separation from God.
So when it makes a general statement like you cannot buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast, well, apparently that covers everybody. It's not just one country. You can't be aloof from that.
How close do you think we are to the mark of the beast?
Well, 40 years ago, they started talking about it really a lot, that you better, you know, you won't be able to do that. But then look at technology, how it has leapt and leapt and leapt to where things are. We're at AI now. We're at things that are, you can put things into people's body to keep track of them.
If you take computer, C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R, take it and take A, B, C, D and give it a six-base system. A is 6, B, 12, C, 18, D, 24. Keep going.
Oh, and just do the math. It comes out to
make yourself an alphabet and then write down computer and you'll calculate it's 666. And they're talking about chipping either your forehead or your hand. You won't be able to buy or sell. And it's already here.
People in certain companies had it done to them because it was helpful for something for the company, for their health care, or I've read the story on that. I mean, this was a couple of years ago. So
some people have chips put in them for medical reasons.
You know, they've been doing it to animals for years to keep track of them. It's good for them. I mean, that's what people say. It's
right.
Good, right? It's good.
Right. It's good economically speaking, I guess.
Yes.
And whatever, from a man's point of view. Anyway, so lend unto Caesar what is Caesar's. There is a point where God draws a line where we don't do. Interesting conversation. Well, we'll pick up again tomorrow on where we've left off here in Luke. Until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.